This sponsored program is presented for its entertainment value only as a service to our listeners. CRN does not endorse or object to any topics or views discussed in the program, and we suggest you always consult your own medical, legal, financial, or personal advisor.
It is midnight in the East and 9 p.m. here in California. Welcome to the second hour of a special pre-recorded edition of There Is a Solution on the Recovery Talk Network. My name is Larry W. I say pre-recorded. It is, as we hear this for the first time, Monday, September 24th. And I am actually in Washington, D.C. This is the last week of Recovery Month. And in the first hour, you heard General Arthur T. Dean discussing his organization. It's the dinner that I'll be attending. The Kids Free Drug Dinner of CADCA, C-A-D-C-A, the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America. And on that dinner is Tuesday the 25th. Tonight on the 24th, I had General Dean for the first hour. In this second hour, we'll be hearing a new show with a repeat guest. I'm delighted to welcome back Joseph Califano Jr. Mr. Califano is the chairman and founder of the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. You're familiar with his website, CASAColumbia.org. CASA is the only national organization that brings together under one roof all the professional disciplines needed to study and combat all types of substance abuse as they affect all aspects of society. As we heard last time, Mr. Califano had just published his book, High Society, How Addiction Ravages America and What to Do About It. It's a delightful hour, I'm sure it will be, with Joseph Califano. He was a terrific guest when we had him here in July, and I'm looking forward to that. Tonight, by the way, and by tonight again, I say September 24th, it is Family Dinner Day or Family Dinner Night. That is a program started by Mr. Califano and CASA. And the interesting thing, as he'll be talking about, is the importance of having dinner with children, having dinner with their families on a regular basis, are much less likely to use illegal drugs or smoke or drink. And that's just remarkable. So we're going to be hearing a lot more about that. Mr. Califano will also be talking about his survey, the teen survey, the CASA's 2007 teen survey, revealing that America's schools are infested with drugs. It's one thing to know that it's there, and we think sometimes about something about inner city neighborhoods, but it's just not true. They released it on August 16th of this year, that 11 million high school students and 5 million middle school students, 44%, go to schools that where the kids themselves have personally witnessed illegal drug use or drug dealing, possession, or students drunk or high, and it's just remarkable. So it'll be great to have back Joseph Califano in this hour. He's got lots to talk about Family Dinner Day, as well as about the teen survey, and of course more about his book, which I urge you to buy, which is called High Society. It's an interesting week. I also want to mention that this being Recovery Week, Carolyn Rubin, who was the founder of CARASAC, which is the Community Addiction Recovery Association in Sacramento, this week, while I am in D.C., and many others will be in D.C., many others still will be in Sacramento, and I invite you to attend the symposium, Beyond Talk Therapy. Carolyn Rubin has been a guest on a number of occasions. We expect to have her back, and a lot of the folks doing all things dealing with not just anti-AA or not at all anti-12-step, but things sometimes in addition to 12-step programs beyond talk therapy. Carolyn Rubin, and go to CARASAC.org and find out more information about that symposium if you're going to be on the West Coast this week. As we mentioned last Wednesday night on the show, Sunday the 30th is the Musician's Picnic for those in the Los Angeles area or anywhere up on the West Coast. Go to the 22nd Annual Musicians Picnic, featuring a number of musicians. Wayne Kramer of MC5 was our guest on Wednesday the 19th, and he will be featured there and a lot of other folks. So you're listening to Larry W. We will be back with Joseph Califano Jr. of the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University right after this. Welcome back on There Is a Solution. It's a special pre-recorded edition. We're airing this Monday, September 24th, as you'll hear more about in this hour, Family Dinner Night. My special guest, I'm delighted to honor and welcome back Joseph Califano Jr. He's the chairman and founder of the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University, known as CASA. You can go to their website, CASAColumbia.org. CASA is the only national organization bringing together under one roof all the professional disciplines needed to study and combat all types of substance abuse as they affect all aspects of society. Mr. Califano, as we've heard before, is also the author of a terrific book called High Society, How Addiction Ravages America and What to Do About It. Talk about There Is a Solution. Mr. Califano has written about that, and he's with us tonight. Mr. Califano, welcome back. Thanks for joining
me. Oh, nice to be back with you, Larry.
It's such a pleasure to have you. There's so much to talk about as we air this. Let's begin with the fact that this is Family Dinner Night, something that, you and CASA started. Why don't you tell people about that? Maybe we can make this obviously more and a more frequent occurrence, but at least honoring it tonight. Tell us about how that came about.
About 10 years ago, in our annual survey of 12 to 17-year-olds, we noticed that kids who never had dinner with their parents were much likely to smoke, drink, and use drugs than kids who had dinner with their parents every night. So over the years, we kept testing this. And after several years of showing that the more often kids had dinner with their parents, the less likely they were to get involved in drugs and alcohol and tobacco, we started something we call Family Day, a day to have dinner with your children. Not that that's the one day you should have dinner with your children, but as a reminder of how important dinner is, how family dinners are. And that was proclaimed by President Bush in 2001, the fourth Monday in September, the 24th. This year, as we're talking. It got lost in the wake of 9/11, which occurred in 2001. But since then, each year it's been building. And this year, Larry, this year, 700, more than 700 cities and counties across America will proclaim and celebrate Family Day and dinner with your children. So will 49 governors. More than 200 nonprofit organizations, 20 Catholic archdioceses, 3 Jewish organizations. It's really growing, and it's very important because parents don't understand the power of parenting, and they certainly, too many parents, don't understand the importance of family dinners.
It is so important, and we've been featuring it on the show, as you say, as just being one other voice out there, because it is a remarkable study, and the information is on the website, CASAColumbia.org, and I urge people, we'll talk a little bit more about it in the next segment after this break, but it is remarkable to see just how much a difference, I call it a simple thing, but how important it is to spending more time at dinner with your child or your children.
Absolutely. I think, for example, for the first time this year, we asked about the abuse of prescription drugs like OxyContin and Vicodin and what have you. And compared to teens who have dinner with their parents five or more times a week, those who have dinner only twice a week or less are 3.5 times likely to abuse prescription drugs.
That's remarkable. With more with Joseph Califano, we're talking in part about Family Dinner Day, and that is tonight, but it should be every night, or certainly a lot more frequent than it is in too many families. Joseph Califano will also talk about the teen survey and more on CR and Digital Talk. Larry W. on the Recovery Talk Network. We'll be right back.
With them that I was smaller than, and I hope that I recall them all before the baby's due, and I know he'll have a question or two.
This is Larry W. We're back on There Is a Solution. my guest, and we're playing in the background Younger Generation by John Sebastian and Love and Spoonful. We'll hear a little bit more of that because that's the main topic for tonight. In part, we're discussing Family Dinner Day with my guest, Joseph Califano Jr., author of High Society, How Addiction Ravages America and What to Do About It. But also, we're featuring tonight on September 24th, Family Dinner Day. Mr. Califano, you're mentioning all of the multiples of the fact that the differences between families and children that have dinner with their children and those that don't, six times more likely to have used marijuana. There are a whole number of things that you found in your survey.
Yes, that's right. I mean, particularly among the younger teens, the 12 to 13-year-olds, who don't have frequent family dinners, are, as you said, Larry, they're six times likely to use marijuana. They're more than four and a half times likely to use tobacco. They're more than two and a half times likely to drink. And I think we really have to recognize that, as I say, really believe that more than any public health program, more than any law we can pass, if we had parents having dinner with their kids frequently, constantly, during those teen years, and before, obviously, but especially during those teen years, we would really be raising kids up in a drug-free manner. And, you know, it's all about kids. It's very important to remember that our research here at CASA shows that getting a child through age 21 without smoking, without using illegal drugs, and without abusing alcohol, many of them will drink, is virtually to guarantee that that kid will be able to deal with this problem throughout his life, will never become an addict or an alcoholic. Now, there are always exceptions. We all know that. There are issues of genetics sometimes. There are issues of terrible tragedies that occur in a family, losing a couple of kids or parents, what have you. But by and large, it's all about kids.
And we're looking at trends anyway. We can't expect everything's going to work for every person, but the more we can do any one of these things, the greater the likelihood, which is sometimes the most we can expect and hope for, which is fine, too.
That's right. And, you know, you mentioned my book, High Society, and there I point out that really this issue of drugs and alcohol, preventing the abuse of drugs and alcohol, this is a mom-and-pop operation. And that means families, and there's nothing, it's so simple to have family dinner. You know, you sit down around the table, you can talk to your kid, you can listen to your kid, you can see your child. And the children, we do focus groups with kids, and they, in this day and age, where so many families have both parents working with us, so many single-parent families, these teens say, you know, my parents really care about me. They make the effort to have dinner with me.
Yeah, and I have to confess, because that's what this is all about. Thanks to the news release and in reading it in your book and how important it is, I'm just doing it more often than I otherwise would, saying, I'll see him later, I'll make sure he does his homework, and just that awareness. And I know I come out of a background. My father was born in Brooklyn, like you, and out of the Depression, and how government was in that era so great at coming up with programs, whether it was the CCCs and stuff like that. And a lot of times growing up thinking government has solutions, and of course, whether it's, without getting into politics, government can be there. But it's so great that you're pointing out how, irrespective of government, that individual families and people can just get together and make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And believe me, this issue of substance abuse in America is going to be solved across the dining room table and the kitchen table and in the living rooms and dining rooms of America, not in the courtrooms and legislative hearing rooms of America.
And I definitely want to talk a lot more about that, too, with about the what your findings from that you reported in the book. It is a real problem. And then we're moving on, if I could, to the fact that you've also done a survey about, speaking again about this younger generation, the prevalence or the infestation, as you call it, of drugs and alcohol at even middle schools. That survey and that report came out last month. Why don't you talk a little bit about CASA and what you found there?
Well, I think what we found is that this fall, this August, most high school students, more than 60% of them, are returning to schools where drugs are used, kept, and sold, where they will see students high and drunk, and about a third of middle school students are returning to schools where drugs are used, kept, and sold, and where they will see fellow students high or drunk. We have got to clean up the schools in this country. It is really important because next to parents, Larry, schools have the greatest influence on kids, and that's everything about the school. It's the environment, it's the teachers, it's the fellow students, it's the coaches, and we have really got to get schools to be drug-free in this country. There's no, we should not be requiring, you know, most state laws require that kids go to school. If they don't, they're truants. If their parents don't send them to school, to elementary school and middle school and high school, their parents maybe are violating the law. Now, what does that mean when we're saying, you must send your child to this place 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, where drugs are going to be available, readily available?
Yeah.
And that is not the United States of America we want or should have.
It's interesting. Being, you know, when I was at Cornell, the thing back in the 60s was in loco parentis. And now, of course, as you're saying, entrusting our children to these places where they're spending much of their awakened hours. So what does CASA propose, or what can we do other than obviously finding out how serious the situation is?
Well, I think, you know, look, if there's asbestos in the ceiling in the school, parents wouldn't send their kids to school till all the dust is out. Now, I think parents have got to get as angry about drugs as they are about asbestos. When they do, and they start demanding that these schools be drug-free, when they're as disturbed about drugs in schools as they are about asbestos in schools, we'll have drug-free schools in this country. So, again, parents become the key. And, it's not just public schools. It's also private schools. And parents spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to send their kids to private schools, and they say, get my kid into a good college. Get my kid into Stanford or Michigan or Harvard or Holy Cross or Georgetown or North Carolina, University of Texas, what have you. And these schools deliver, these private schools.
Interesting. Well, if they said
to those people running those schools, you get the drugs out of these schools, you get the alcohol out of these schools, they'll get it out.
That will do it. We'll be right back with more.
And I must be permissive, understanding of the younger generation. And still I'll try to tell him all the things I've done.
We're back on There's a Solution. This is a special pre-recorded edition on this September 24th. My guest in the first hour, General Arthur Dean of CADCA, the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America. And now I'm pleased to have back and welcoming back in this hour our second appearance with Joseph Califano. He is the chairman of CASA, which is the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. The website is CASAColumbia.org. The discussion right now, again, as we continue to play younger generation, the fact that the schools, as you use in your report, being infested with drugs, and you mentioned private schools as well. So, again, like anything else in this country, it is the demographic. We're not talking about, as we used to say, the inner city or anything like that anymore.
No, we're not. We're talking about this is across the board. I mean, this problem affects every economic class, every racial class, every ethnic class. If you go out, when I go out and speak, and you say to the audience, well, anybody who has a friend, a member of their circle of friends or their family that has a substance abuse problem, raise their hand, every hand goes up. This problem touches everybody, and we have to deal with it. I mean, you know, going back to the book High Society, I mean, we have it is the largest cause of crime in this country. It is the number one disease in this country. It is the largest cause of child abuse in this country. It is the largest culprit with respect to homelessness and with respect to the women and children on welfare. We cannot deal with those problems until we deal with substance abuse and addiction, until we recognize that we're talking about a disease, that we're talking about a chronic relapsing disease, that we have to get the stigma off of this. It's very important. When Betty Ford the former First Lady came on our board at the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. She said one of the most important things we've got to make one of our missions, and we have, to get the stigma, to replace despair with hope.
And as far as removing that stigma, it's very easy. And now, again, in part from what I hear from you and people like Pat Taylor and Faces and Voices of Recovery, and I'll be in D.C. This week, really, as we speak here, for the Johnson Institute, their America Honors Recovery Luncheon and the CADCA dinner. There is so much that needs to be done, so we're not just talking to ourselves. And we, you know, we all appreciate it, the, those of us either in 12-step programs or in the field as you are, trying to make a difference. But really that message has to get out there. Otherwise, you know, we all know it. We know it's an addiction and we know it's a disease. But it's important to get the message out as, you know, through the media and through a lot of these other sources. Of course, your book, High Society, I recommend it to everybody to get Joseph Califano's book. He's my guest here this hour, High Society. It is a remarkable book. You mentioned all sorts of things about just the prevalence, but I wanted to also mention about the increase you mentioned in your survey. How much more drug abuse, if you will, or the prevalence in schools? 20%, you mentioned?
Tremendous increases in the proportion of high schools that are drug-infested over the past few years.
Any ideas why it's gotten so, it's just moving down?
Well, I tell you why. I think, Larry, one of the reasons is that one of the things we found in the survey, for example, parents just despair. They don't think they can do anything about it. Of course they can do something about it. And they have to do something about it. That's the key to putting pressure on the schools. I also think that, you know, when we read all these stories about terrible schools, poor schools, lousy schools in cities and now even in small towns, sure, we have to do a lot of things to make the school better, but we're never going to bring these schools up to their full capacity to educate our children until we get the drugs and alcohol out of them. And it just has not been a priority. Teachers say, oh, I teach history and English and math. I have nothing to do with substance abuse. And then they say, well, if I see a kid in my class that I think is using, if I tell the parents will deny it. And I'll be in a battle with the parents, so I'm not going to do it. And going back to a point you made earlier in this broadcast, which is very important, they say, I'm not in loco parentis. That's a parental problem. That's not my problem.
Right. Joseph Califano is our guest. We'll be back with one more segment. I want to talk more about his terrific book, High Society, How Substance Abuse Ravages America and What to Do About It. Joseph Califano, the chairman and president of CASA, which is the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. He is quoted as saying, without freedom from addiction, there is no freedom. What a great quote from Joseph Califano. We'll be back with him with our final segment right after this.
Wants to give a bit to me. What's the matter, Daddy? How come you're turning green? Can it be that you can't live up to your dream?
It is 34 minutes after the hour. This is Larry W. on There Is a Solution on the Recovery Talk Network. My guest has been Joseph Califano. He is the chairman and founder of the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. Go to our website at recoverytalknetwork.com or link directly to theirs, casacolumbia.org. He's the author of High Society, How Substance Abuse Ravages America and What to Do About It. And in this segment, I like to hearken back to this great things that I learned from reading your book. And of course, it's the extent of the problem in the country. You've already mentioned how it touches every family. And that's certainly a big part. But also this notion about internet drugs and how prevalent. And that's certainly something that was never here 10 years ago.
No, there's no question about it. I mean, you can bang in, sadly, you can bang in on the internet Vicodin without a prescription or OxyContin without a prescription. And scores of sites will come up where you can buy those drugs without a prescription. All you need is a credit card.
Is there anything that really can be done about that? Is there anything being done about that?
Well, you know, the Congress, I testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee, urging them to take action to get more control. I think it's an international problem. We're going to need treaties to control the Internet. And it's very important because a lot of these drugs come in from foreign countries. But we have to do something about it. In the short term, I mean, I think, again, you get back to parents, and parents have got to watch over the way their kids use the Internet, because you can find anything on the Internet. I mean,
that's
you can
true.
Find out how to grow better marijuana. You can find out how to make meth. It's a tremendous asset, the Internet, but it also presents some very difficult and dangerous problems for our children.
I must ask you if you are cautiously hopeful.
Oh,
obviously,
I'm
you're
hopeful.
Not.
Look,
despairing.
I'm hopeful. I'll tell you.
We're all out here doing our bit, obviously.
No, but look, Larry. I mean, the reality is, in the last 15 years, and I don't give CASA credit for all of this. I give credit for some of it. We're getting the subject out into the open, and more often. I mean, when I go to Mass on Sunday, and 10 years ago, you would never hear the section of the Mass where they say, you know, let's offer our prayers for special intentions, this intention, that intention. But now, again and again, in churches you hear, and let's say, let's pray for those who are addicted.
Wow.
I mean, I think that's something that never would have happened. I also think, I mean, you know, we've had a tremendous response to the book. Incidentally, it can be ordered on Amazon.com. It can be ordered on the CASA website. All the proceeds go to CASA. But the letters we're getting on that, and the fact that people are reading it and using it, and it really does make the case. And thirdly, I think we're finally getting the medical profession to begin to deal with this. You know, most doctors, and one of the things I say in the book is, I mean, my greatest complaint against the doctors in the public health community is they have not gone out there and educated our people about this. This is a disease. There are ways to deal with it. We can deal with it. Look at what they've done with respect to AIDS in this country. They took this thing that was a social curse, and they went out and they educated the country and much of the world that AIDS is a disease, that there are things that can be done to alleviate it, maybe not cure it, but alleviate it. They've got to mount the same kind of campaign because drugs and alcohol affect far more people.
Sure, that is
than AIDS or many other diseases.
That is a remarkable example. It really, I think back to the early 80s, and I worked with someone who died of AIDS, and they were even afraid. They wanted me as his employer to try to get the death certificate away so the insurance company wouldn't see it. And that's 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And yet, compared to addiction, which has been around for obviously centuries, but even a little bit of awareness since AA started, maybe in 1935, since Betty Ford came out in the 70s, it is remarkable how AIDS was able to overcome that stigma, if you will, and we have not yet been able to do that as well here with addictions.
That's correct, and that the medical profession is responsible for, and we can change that, and we should change that in this country. And when people begin to understand that, well, then, you know, we will we'll save more people, we'll prevent more kids from getting involved with this stuff. Even just compare, I mean, we've had a substantial impact in the public health community on smoking. We used to have 47% of our population smoked. We're down to about 27%. Okay, why don't we mount the same kinds of campaigns about alcohol abuse and about drug abuse as we have about smoking?
My guess
is we can influence our people.
And you, frankly, were very instrumental in that as a former HEW secretary, and your own anti-smoking drive was really instrumental. So I want to applaud your efforts for people who may not have been aware of that. I'm sure everybody is now, but congratulations on that as well. You also write in your book, High Society, and again, I recommend people get it from Amazon.com or go to CasaColombia.org. About the problems, if you will, with the criminal justice system versus mental health rehabilitation, maybe throwing in the insurance industry for that, about how we treat or don't treat and take care of the problem.
Yeah, again, look at this. We spend 40, some states, over $50,000 a year to incarcerate people. There are well over a million, probably a million and a half people in prison have drug and alcohol problems. Rarely do they get any treatment. So when they're released, they go back on the substance and they go back into jail. For a couple of $1,000s more, we could provide treatment. We could, you know, we could have, every prison should have 12-step programs, and every prison should have means of providing incentives for people to enter those programs and change their lives. That's of tremendous importance. And then in the juvenile justice system, 80% of the kids arrested in the juvenile justice system have drug and alcohol problems. A lot of them are also illiterate. A lot of them have no job skills. A lot of them have mental health and physical health problems. When I was a kid, we used to call it reform school because the concept was that we would reform these kids. Now what I say is the juvenile justice places have become colleges of criminality. We're not helping these kids in any way, and that's a tragedy.
It really is. We're about to close for this segment. I really appreciate all your time. I want to thank you for joining me again tonight, Joseph Califano. Thank you so much again, sir.
Listen, it's always a pleasure to be on with you. You have a great show, Larry, and a very important show.
Well, thank you. You're a big part of it, and we'll hope to have you back again soon.
Anytime.
Joseph Califano has been my terrific guest again tonight. Please go to CasaColombia.org. Find out more about the surveys, about and his book, High Society, How Substance Abuse Ravages America and What to Do About It. We'll be back with more right after this.
Remember all the cardinal rules, like sun, showers, or legal grounds for cutting school. 100 miles an hour, suspended on balloons. And can I put a droplet of this new stuff on my tongue and imagine frothing dragons while you sit and wreck your lungs?
It is 44 minutes after the hour. Larry W. back on this special pre-recorded edition. You can send me an email, because we are not in the studio live as we air this on Monday, September 24th. I am actually in D.C. now for the celebrating and honoring a lot of folks in recovery and who work with recovery. My guest for the first hour tonight, General Arthur T. Dean, who is the CEO of CADCA, the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America. And Tuesday the 25th, if you are in the East Coast, you can still find a ticket at the Ritz-Carlton dinner for it is their annual dinner, and they are honoring it's a kids-free drug dinner. Let me put that correctly, just in case I actually want to say the right things every once in a while, which I try to do. But it is the Drug-Free Kids Campaign. I had it backwards. Drug-Free Kids Campaign Awards Dinner, put on annually. It's the ninth annual one put on by CADCA this year, honoring Humanitarian of the Year, Chase Carey, who's the President and Chief Executive Officer of DirecTV. He gets the Humanitarian of the Year Award. And Dr. Tuan Pham, who is the President and CEO of Pharmatech. Pharmatech has introduced, along with scientists, and has developed an over-the-counter drug testing kit. And out here in California, we probably need that more. Maybe they should be giving them out with driver's licenses. Tomas is with me here, as always. Thank you for joining me, as always, Tomas.
You're quite welcome, Larry.
What do you think about that? Maybe drug tests coming out with when people get their licenses? We certainly have a lot of folks out here who apparently have not, who don't take their own drug tests.
That's very true. I think that's going to be rather controversial, only because just like people try to cheat and go around the drug tests, I think you'll still have a situation if they make mandatory drug testing before you get a driver's license.
But I think the fact is that good old Pharmatech here has at least come up with something that I'm sure is a lot easier, and it is certainly necessary. My guest this hour, for those of you who may have just joined in, you can listen to this on the CRN Digital Talk website, crntalk.com. My interview with Joseph Califano, my second interview with, again, a remarkable individual. He is the author of a book called High Society, How Addiction Ravages America and What to Do About It. And as president and founder of CASA, the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse. They're reporting a lot of things. As I say, tonight, September 24th, the fourth Monday of September, is National Family Dinner Day. And I guess, as I learned, it started in 2001, but has really kicked up a lot over these past 6 years. And it's just remarkable to think something as simple as having dinner with your children will decrease the likelihood that they will be alcohol or drug users and abusers by a 3-4-to-1 margin. And that's it's just amazing. It seems, now, I know families can't always do that, and I know right now there are a lot of parents, and one's working and the other's working. But just still, just that concept, putting it into the consciousness, I think would make a big difference.
Oh, definitely, Larry. I think one of the things that you and I can both remember back in the day is when we all sat down to dinner with our parents, and that was an every night procedure, only because at that time there was only one parent working, or maybe two parents were working, but one was part-time. And so there was always the two people, the two parents there at dinner time.
That's right. And it was, but, you know, I still, and I agree with that. And of course, I had that and had to clean the plates and vacuum the floor back in Fairfield, Connecticut, doing this. But even now, I bet just putting it in the idea, because someone is around at dinner time. I don't care, one parent. And I think, even as the survey says, sometimes that's all it takes. You're right. I'm glad you re-brought up that picture. That's not happening anymore.
No.
You know, where, you know, mom's laboring over the meatloaf all afternoon and after going shopping, and dad just, you know, walks in the door with the newspaper and the slippers or whatever, and that's not going to happen. But just the simple thing of making sure that at least one parent sits down. It's so interesting, as we all have dinner, and I look at the many nights that you know, Max will have his dinner, and whether we're eating the same thing or maybe we're not eating the same thing, but it doesn't mean we can't just sit down at the same table.
True.
We're both eating.
That's right.
And just as something as simple as that, as Joseph Califano Jr. points out in the survey, what a big difference that would make. And that's so important, and we're going to be talking more about that in the weeks and months to come.
Well, you know, just a thought. I sort of remember when a couple of nights ago Lisa Penny was on, and how she is doing the same thing with children of newly sober people, trying to get them to interact. And that's what it's all about, the interaction between the sober parent and the child, to try to get to repair
Absolutely.
That relationship.
And it's clear, even though my folks were not alcoholics, but again, it's just, if you're going to prevent your child and decrease that likelihood, what a great gift that that CASA has done by just promoting that and making sure. And if it's once a year, then make it once a month, and then make it once a week and beyond. So that's a great thing that you can learn. And I want to invite anyone to read more about that survey. We're going to try to get posted on our website. It's only a couple of pages. Or go to CasaColombia.org and learn more about Family Dinner Day. We will be back for our final segment, closing out this special Monday night pre-recorded edition of There Is a Solution. We will do that. This is Larry W. and Tomas on Recovery Talk Network. We'll be right back.
Things I've done, relating to what he can do when he becomes a man, and still he'll stick his fingers in the fan. Relating to what he can do when he becomes a man, and still he'll stick his fingers in the fan.
54 minutes after the hour. That is John Sebastian, the Lovin' Spoonful. And I remember listening to that in 1969. When it was a time where kids were using, but not kids as kids now are using, and wondering what's going to happen when we thought we would do all the things differently than our parents did, and how big a difference is going to make. And as he wrote so eloquently, really, and still he'll stick his fingers in the fan. And, you know, and I know with my son, there'll still be that time where something happens and their kids are kids. But the important message tonight, first with General Arthur Dean of CADCA, the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America, and discussing how we have to get that message out to take the stigma off of addiction, that this is a disease, so eloquently again written about in his book, Joseph Califano Jr.'s book, High Society, How Addiction Ravages America and What to Do About It. Another great interview with Mr. Califano. He's the founder, chairman and founder of CASA, the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University. Tonight, September 24th, as we air this, it was Family Dinner Day, and I invite all of you, I know I am going to be more mindful of having dinner with my son on more than those infrequent occasions. And that's just a big plus if we're going to battle on an individual family basis to battle this problem with the drugs that are being, again, as CASA revealed in their survey, is being really in the schools to such an incredible extent. He calls it, they call it drug-infested schools, where there are so many schools where kids can see drugs sold, used, and not just, legal drugs, illegal drugs, but and even in the middle schools. It's just remarkable. So go to CasaColumbia.org, and it is a very sobering, pun intended, report. It's only a couple of pages. You can pick it up and read about what's going on in our schools. That if you're a parent out there, and even if you're not in recovery and you don't even have an addiction, but know that your child is out there. And we'll also talk about back in the 50s and peer pressure and gangs and hoods and all the stuff I was brought up and talked about. But now it's the fact that legal and illegal drugs are being sold. Of course, it's illegal for the kids to have some of these. But it's just an important subject, and that's what we do here on Recovery Talk Network, is bring up all of this information. I want to remind people that this is the end of Recovery Month. Tomorrow night, that's Tuesday night, the 25th, I'm going to replay a terrific interview with Johnny Allam of the Johnson Institute. I will be with Mr. Allam and others this Thursday, the 27th, at, if you're on the East Coast, go to their America Honors Recovery Luncheon. Again, tomorrow night, I will be at the CADCA dinner honoring Chase Carey from DirecTV and Dr. Tuan Pham from Pharmatech Organization or Pharmatech Incorporated at the CADCA dinner. 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 Incorporated at the CADCA dinner.